The Europe Report with Kanaan Lipschitz.
Kanaan, it feels like it has been forever. How are you? And great to have you back.
It's great to be back and to land back on terra firm ground after the holidays.
I absolutely feel the same, ditto to that. But during the holidays, there was a story all over the various Jewish press that just blew me away. It blew me away because it's so unbloomin' believable. The headline out of our Aretz was the following. It said a gay ex-IDF soldier is running for the German parliament, but not just for any party, for the AfD, Alternative für Deutschland, the far right. How does that work, Kanaan?
So we're talking about Marcel Goldhammer, who's a fascinating character, as you rightly pointed out, because of the conflicts and contrasts that his CV and character offer. This is a young guy in his 30s. He's a model. He's an actor. He actually got sort of kicked out of his home in a small town in Germany because he came out as being homosexual. And for the longest time, he was searching his path in life, and eventually he converted to Judaism through a Reform congregation.
Okay.
And he took it pretty far. He took it very seriously. He made Aliyah. He enlisted into the IDF. And then at around 2014, 2013, Marcel returns home because he met this Chinese guy, and the Chinese guy didn't really feel that much at home in Israel. Can't say that I blame him. And they moved to Germany, which is more Berlin, which is more international.
Sure.
And so he comes back. As he comes back, there are monumentous changes in European demography, I would say, because of German policy. Angela Merkel, who's the chancellor, still is, she's stepping down next month, decided, in view of the terrible humanitarian crisis that was unfolding in Syria and elsewhere in the Middle East, she decided to admit basically whoever came to Germany. And millions answered the call. 2 million, according to estimates, crossed the border through Croatia and other Balkan states, and settled in largely in Germany, but also the Netherlands, Sweden. And that set off a huge political crisis in Germany and throughout the rest of Europe. Decided, yes, we're going to take in those asylum seekers, as many of them were. And that's when things get choppy for people like Marcel Goldhammer, because he used to vote for Angela Merkel, but he saw his society change in ways that were very frightening to him, both as a gay person and as a Jewish person, because of two reasons. And it's quite nuanced. It's not that the asylum seekers and the immigrants brought anti-Semitism. I mean, they have. They come from deeply anti-Semitic societies. But what they did is they emboldened the German far right, which took matters even further. And so many Jews felt themselves, when I say far right, I'm talking neo-Nazis, not necessarily the AfD, which is a populist right-wing party. So the neo-Nazis started to lash out at Jewish communities, and there was Muslim anti-Semitism, and there was a huge spike in anti-Semitic incidents. And when frightening things like that happen, I guess people like Marcel, they turn to radical solutions. And for Marcel, that radical solution was the AfD, a party that grew out of the 2011 beginning of the immigration crisis. And that party is unapologetic. Basically, between the lines, you read the policy being, let's stop with the apologetics after the Holocaust. We're Germans. We're not responsible for what happened 70, 80 years ago. Let's just get on with it. We don't need to be ashamed of our language. We don't need to be ashamed of our culture. That's deeply frightening to a lot of people. And just to briefly quote Alexander Gauland, who's the party's honorary chairman, in 2017, he said that Germans don't have to be held accountable anymore for those 12 years of the Nazi regime. They don't affect our identity today any longer, and we're not afraid to say so. And there's also that coming from the heads of the party really draws in the neo-Nazis, of course, the fringe that the AfD may not want. When they hear that kind of rhetoric, they come flocking, and suddenly there's a lot of anti-Semitism and anti-Islamic sentiment in the ranks of AfD, and that party's tainted to a lot of German and European Jews. But given that feeling of being trapped in a vice, many of them, I wouldn't say the majority by any means, but many of them are turning to those radical solutions, and we're seeing it not only in Germany, we're seeing it in France, where Le Pen party, Marine Le Pen, the National Rally, formerly the National Front,
It's mind-blowing. So to what extent is this a trend? To what extent are we seeing Jews voting for the Marine Le Pens and the AfDs in Western Europe?
So AfD is its own case for historical reasons. It'll take a lot to get a significant number of German Jews to vote for that kind of party. But there are German Jews who vote and who say so, like Pavel Feinstein, who's an artist. He's saying that basically it's lights out for this community unless this happens. Now, in France, we're talking about at least 12%, maybe 16% of the vote for Le Pen today, when a Jewish vote for Le Pen was...
Wow.
Just non-existent 15 years ago. It's 12%. That's already a big share of the vote. In the Netherlands, you have Geert Wilders, who's an anti-Muslim populist who supports banning kosher slaughter. He's the third largest popular party among Jews and nationally also. So you're seeing more and more Jews actually attracted to the allure of the hard populist right in Europe.
Knan, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. We're out of time, but wow, I'm glad to be speaking to you again. I've missed our updates from Europe and finding out all this incredible realignment that's going on in your part of the world. Knan, we'll chat this time next week again.